Minister Gareth Thomas, your department, DFID, works together with many financial and political organisations, but also with charities and non-governmental organisations to try and implement development programmes, including faith groups in this last area. What do you see as the role of churches and religious organisations in this partnership?
Well, I think churches and religious organisations can reach communities and people in communities in a way that governments and major bodies like the United Nations can't reach. So I'm very conscious of some of the AIDS programmes that churches run in southern Africa. And without the programmes that those churches and faith groups run, people simply wouldn't be getting access to the antiretroviral drugs they need, to the support as people are dying of AIDS, the help to make sure that orphans of people who've died of AIDS are properly looked after. So I think, frankly, the international community owes a huge debt of gratitude to the work that churches and faith groups are doing, particularly in southern Africa, but more generally in the struggle against poverty.
As you say, in these African countries particularly, the churches are providing a huge share of the care and prevention programmes, and yet they say they're receiving very little percentage-wise of the funding that's available. Why is this, and what can be done about it?
Well, I think that reflects a wider problem, and the wider problem is that there is not sufficient money for the fight against HIV and AIDS, and indeed not sufficient money going into healthcare in Africa and indeed in many developing countries. We need the international community to fulfil the pledges that they've made on aid levels, on development spending, not cut back as people fear they might do, given the financial crisis. So if people maintain the promises they've made to increase development budgets, then we can make sure more money is available, not only for churches and faith groups, they have an increasingly important role to play, but also for governments to help them build up their health services too.
As you say, this is a time of crisis for everybody. Is it realistic to expect that the governments will continue to live up to the pledges they've made? I see, for example, Ireland recently has just cut its overseas development assistance budget, and I imagine that others are going to do the same.
I think there is a real concern that a number of countries are going to cut back on development budgets or take longer to implement promises they've made on development levels. So I do think we need to look at all sorts of other ways, working with a range of international charities who perhaps haven't been worked with before, looking at innovative financial solutions, such as the International Finance Facility for Immunizations, which is a long-term funding stream, a bit like a mortgage, but not a mortgage, for more support to the Global Alliance on Vaccines and Immunizations. We need to work with bodies like the World Bank, who are increasing their lending to poor countries at this time, to try and fill the gap, which, as you say, has opened up in one or two cases of where countries have cut back.
What are your expectations from this G20 meeting coming up in April in this regard?
Well, what we want from the G20 summit is agreement that the major international financial institutions will, as well as trying to help rich nations such as our own adjust and recover from the financial crisis, make sure that they're also looking at the needs of developing countries. One of the major lessons from previous financial crises is that it is the poor who suffer most. So as well as putting more money into banking systems, we also need to make sure that we're providing targeted help so that the very poorest can get access to benefits and other immediate help, job assistance programs, in a way that weren't provided in previous financial crises, to help stop people getting into more difficulties and the numbers of people in poverty increasing.
These ambitious goals are all laid out in the Millennium Development Goals manifesto, and yet over halfway through we seem to be falling well behind achieving those targets by 2015. Do you share that assessment, first of all, and if so, who is to blame?
I don't think the assessment is quite as gloomy as you present. We're certainly off track to meet the Millennium Development Goals in a number of countries, and we're certainly off track to meet particular goals in particular countries. And there is no question that the international community, along with developing countries, developing country governments, it's got to be a partnership. We've all got to do more. What is clear, I think, is that the current financial crisis creates the risk that we will go backwards in terms of the fight to meet the Millennium Development Goals. And that's why the G20 summit is so important for trying to release more money from the international financial institutions to make sure that doesn't happen.
Britain has pledged to reach its commitment to the 0.7 target by 2013. Is that still on track?
Yes, Gordon Brown has reconfirmed this week our determination to reach 0.7 by 2013. What we obviously will want to use the G20 summit to do is to try to encourage all those other big nations who made promises back in 2005 at Gleneagles to follow through on those promises, despite the difficulties that we recognise that everybody's facing at the moment.
Finally, is there anything you can tell me about programmes, specifically in the two countries that Pope Benedict is visiting in Africa, where development projects really are making a difference, in Cameroon or in Angola?
Well, one of the programmes which we know is making a difference in, for example, in Cameroon, is work on tackling forest governance, which might sound a very esoteric thing, but what it actually means is that we're working to stop illegal logging, and we're actually working to help the communities, many hundreds of thousands of people who live in the forests, actually get access to the resources that forests offer, help them to make a living from the forests, help make sure that any taxes that are earned by people cutting down timber are actually delivered to the government so that services can be improved. We want to stop the illegal logging. We want to make sure that legal logging generates incomes for poorest people, generates jobs for the poorest peoples in those areas. So our forest governance work in Cameroon is helping to make that a reality.